You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We got our picks against the spread up. I'll have my decider column there, the start sits there for week number 3, as well as our combined staff look at the sleepers and busts you need to be considering here in another important week of fantasy football for season long. And we're going to get into the first half of the matchups here. It's Matchup Wednesday. We'll follow again with Matchup Thursday. So we'll take the first half of games today. We'll analyze the back half all the way through Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football on tomorrow's show. So we have to dive right into it. A lot of content to get into. We'll also look at some of the gambling aspects of these games, the over-unders and the spreads to help us determine where we want to go with fantasy football here in week 3. So we'll get into all that fun, starting with the Thursday night game with the Carolina Panthers traveling to the Houston Texans in a moment. Locked On NFL Draft Podcast relaunches September 20th. The brand new host, Eric Crocker, brings the player scouting. Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, this podcast, Locked On Fantasy Football, rolls on here. New week, new Thursday night game. We have the Panthers and Texans. What a matchup. Okay, maybe one side of this matchup is really good. So you have the Texans being 7.5-point underdogs, 43.5, so another low over-under, but we know last week the Giants and Washington blew that out of the water, so maybe more points than we expect, maybe less with Davis Mills starting at quarterback, the rookie from Stanford, having to do that because Tyrod Taylor has got the hamstring injury. He's on IR. You have Deshaun Watson, not going to be activated for this game. Even in the case of injury, Deshaun Watson's not playing for the Texans. So maybe we'll hear something on the Miami front soon, Watson being traded here with him kind of just in limbo with the Texans and the Dolphins struggling here with Tua Tagovailoa already suffering a rib injury. We'll see what happens there. Let's start and look at this game. The Panthers, again, 7.5-point favorites in this one. I expect a lot of Christian McCaffrey. The positive game script is going to be there. It's always a lot of Christian McCaffrey. He's averaging 29.5 touches per game. He had a big first game against the Jets, had a bigger second game against the Saints, as he also found the end zone. He's an integral part of what they want to do with Joe Brady in this offense. He opens things up and has really made Sam Darnold comfortable because Darnold didn't have anybody like that in the backfield. This offensive line has overachieved a little bit as well. So Christian McCaffrey, the ultimate start here, going to get your week started off right. He has to be in all your DFS lineups. If you're playing showdown or single game, you got to get McCaffrey in, or you're not really playing in this game. So yeah, McCaffrey, maybe the top RB on the board once again this week as he started the season like that in our pre-draft. The rest, you can look at DJ Moore. He's been coming on strong. Good chemistry between him and Sam Darnold. Two solid games. So that's what DJ Moore does. He doesn't always have those spectacular games. He did find the end zone last week, so that's a good sign. He hasn't been a big touchdown scorer, but DJ Moore's solid. I think he's always there as a wide receiver, too. You can look at Robbie Anderson. He's a little bit big play dependent. That's a little bit of my concern here. Is he going to get that big play before the Panthers put this game away? Their defense is playing at a very high level as well, so the game scripts could hurt Moore and Anderson at some point here if McCaffrey is just running away with the game. So let's hope he gets that big play early with Anderson. You could do a lot worse at wide receiver 3 with the matchups there. But DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey locked in. Sam Darnold, I'm not interested in streaming it too much. I don't see a lot of volume from Darnold. I think they're going to keep it pretty simple again. You're going to hope that there's enough for Moore and Anderson to get theirs, but there's not a lot of extension here in the passing game to look there, so be wary. I know the matchup is good for Darnold. The Texans' pass defense has actually been pretty good. Their run defense really bad here, so I could see limited numbers, maybe even fewer than 200 yards here. So he's going to have to get the scores, and I don't know if he's going to get enough yardage with those scores with Anderson and Moore and McCaffrey being his primary targets once again. Panthers' defense, great play in this game. They've come out like gangbusters against the Jets and the Saints. They're going to keep it up. They're an aggressive big play defense. They get a rookie quarterback here in Davis Mills. So where do I go with the Texans? It's pretty simple. It's only Brandon Cooks, Mr. Reliable. He's going to have high volume. Danny Amendola and Nico Collins are hurting here for the Texans. So they're really short-handed receiver also for Davis Mills. They do have a pretty good left tackle there in Laremy Tunsil. There's going to be some garbage time for Cooks. He's a short to intermediate pass catcher that can also make big plays. So that's why he's always involved. He's an extended handoff. That's why David Johnson hasn't been all that effective here. So David Johnson, Mark Ingram, Phillip Lindsay, not looking anywhere there. So Brandon Cooks, wide receiver 3, pretty much every week. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, who the team is. Really, we've seen that from him throughout his career, even at wide receiver 2 levels where he's at right now. All right, so not a lot of scoring from the Texans, quite a bit from the Panthers, McCaffrey-centric. Let's go to another game that crosses over a team from the AFC South with a team from the NFC. Another 7.5-point spread. This is the theme of this week. A lot of 7.5-point spreads. That tricky one just outside a touchdown because it's that garbage points area. Can a team trim it there late on a last gasp drive? We know how these things usually work. These teams are usually up by a couple scores, and then we just hope these teams hold off in the end. So 51.5. So we're having a whole 8 more points from that Panthers-Texans game that is available here for the Cardinals-Jaguars game. So we expect a little bit more from the Jaguars in this game. That's what it kind of means. But Kyler Murray locked and loaded as a QB1. Using DeAndre Hopkins, best matchup of the week at wide receiver 1. Rondale Moore comes in as a useful wide receiver 3 again. Now, people are saying he's like the 4th or 5th option. I disagree with that. If you look at the usage, it's been pretty consistent here. I think the guys that are anomalies more, Max Williams, who is the week 2 surprise there, and Christian Kirk, who went off in week 1. So I look at Rondale Moore. He was a baseline involved guy. He was close to having 2 scores in that game. Remember that little kind of push pass that Kyler Murray had? It was a fumble out of bounds. They scored in a different way on that drive with Murray running in, but then he had that long touchdown. So they're going to get Rondale Moore involved. I think it hurts the value of Christian Kirk. It hurts the value of Chase Edmonds because they can do similar things. But I do like Edmonds to have some good value in the second half, as well as James Conner to maybe put away this game here for the Cardinals. So Hopkins and Moore and Murray, and we're looking at Conner in deep leagues as a flex. Chase Edmonds is an RB2, as he usually is here in half-point and full-point PPR league. So good position for all things the Cardinals. Offense of the Cardinals defense, Chandler Jones and company getting after Trevor Lawrence, who's really struggling with the pressure. Rebound game after that mess against Minnesota last week. J.J. Watt returning to another scene of a crime there for the AFC South. He ripped the Titans in week 1. He's going to get the Texans eventually. Here, Cardinals all over the Jaguars. Here, so from the Jaguars' point of view, you can look at their 2 receivers, and when I say that, I mean Marvin Jones Jr. and DJ Chark Jr., not looking at LaVisca Chenault Jr. in this game. If you can avoid him, go away from James Robinson. He might be your best option as an RB2 or flex this week, but I just don't like the usage. The Jaguars, the only team without a carry inside the 20, so no red zone looks for James Robinson, which was a big part of his game last year, finishing drives for the Jaguars, so we'll see if they can get him more involved or this running game going. The Cardinals, a little bit vulnerable. We saw that last week against Dalvin Cook and the Vikings, but I think that's overall a better running team than the Jaguars, so something to keep in mind. So if you need Jones and Chark there as a wide receiver 3s, certainly you can look that way. Avoid Robinson if you can. Don't go with Lawrence at any cost in this game, and no Chenault as well, as the Jaguars kind of figure out their passing game. All right, so those are 2 games early that we broke down. We will get into several more 1 p.m. games, 6 to be exact here, in our final 2 segments here on Matchup Wednesday. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number 1 spot for all the pro and college football action of the season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number 1 source for everything football. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline are your online sportsbook experts. Again, use that promo code, they're NFL100, for that 100% welcome bonus when you sign up today at BetOnline. Hey, fantasy football fans, this is Vinny Iyer with an incredible app everybody who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use that promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50% off per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's TOUCHDOWN as the promo code at GetUpside. All right, let's continue here, and looks like we have a strong AFC South theme to start the show here. We have an all-AFC South battle that we'll break down. We broke down the Texans, the Jaguars. Now the Colts and Titans are playing each other. The Titans, big rally there in fourth quarter and overtime to beat the Seahawks in Seattle, all about Derrick Henry giving him the ball. 5.5 is a spread in favor of the Titans, 48.5. And the big question with the Colts in this game, is Carson Wentz going to start? He's got multiple ankle injuries, so a different injury for him. Jacob Eason could definitely be in the lineup for the Colts, so that makes us downgrade everything. But I think you'll see Indy have to throw the ball quite a bit in this game. Their defense is not playing all that great. So Jonathan Taylor, a little bit of concern here if it's Jacob Eason. I think the game script could really get bad for them. Maybe see a little bit more Nyheim Hines. Now, if you're looking for Colts, these are low upside options overall, but if you're desperate there for flex in deeper leagues, Zach Pascal, Jack Doyle, a tight end, you can look at these guys if you really need them. And you look at Michael Pittman Jr. He's here to stay as the Colts' number one receiver. He's their best receiver here without Paris Campbell, without T.Y. Hilton. Pascal has done some good work in the slot here, scoring 3 touchdowns in 2 games. So we'll see how it goes here with Pittman and Pascal, but they should have some high volume in the second half. And the Colts can keep it close in this one. I think they're scheming and all that. They're a bit desperate at 0-2. This is a game to stay in the race, because if the Titans go up 2-1, the Colts are 0-3, this AFC South race is pretty much over with the Texans and Jaguars fading. So something to look at here early in the season. With the Titans, it's their principles. I still don't like Ryan Tannehill. He's not finished really well. I think it's all going to be about Derrick Henry once again. What a surprise at home. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones could get theirs. A.J. Brown is the every week play. I know Julio was the more productive guy last week. He really was not even on the radar in week 1. So that's going to be a bit fickle between those two, but Brown more reliable than Jones there. So if you need Brown and Jones, I think I look at Brown more as a wide receiver 2 based on the volume of the Titans passing game, and Jones more as a wide receiver 3. That's how I kind of look at them in most weeks. Derrick Henry right up there with Christian McCaffrey with one of the better matchups. So this game's going to be a little closer than we think. The Colts will look a little bit better. If it's Wentz in there, it's going to boost the stock of Pittman and Pascal and Doyle a little bit for us, and Taylor, really, if that happens. So let's hope he's in there. If not, Jacob Eason, let's hope he can play well here in his first start for Indianapolis. All right, we go from that game to the Ravens-Lions game. This is in Detroit. The Ravens are 7.5-point road favorites. We told you about that 7.5 number. It's going to come up one more time on this show as we break down the first half of the Week 3 games. 49.5 is the over-under, so expecting a little bit of scoring here, and not as big as that Cardinals-Jaguars game, but let's look at the kind of what the Ravens are going to do here. The reason I think you have lesser points is also the Ravens can control the game with their running game, so I expect a very solid game from Lamar Jackson. He has the best matchup here, maybe outside of Kyler Murray, of the week at quarterback. We know his running upside is going to give you a lot. He was fantastic against the Chiefs there all the way down to that first down he ran for at the end of the game. So he's back. We want to see a little bit more Mark Andrews. Maybe this is a chance for him to get going. Marquise Brown has looked spectacular here. In deeper leagues, you can consider Sammy Watkins there as a flex or a wide receiver 3. Just how good this matchup is really against this Lions secondary without Jeff Okuda. But Hollywood Brown continues the hot streak. So maybe we'll get some consistency and not just flashy big plays from Brown. And I think what's helped here, no Rashad Bateman here early. So that really gets all the targets funneled through Brown. A lot of attention here on Andrews. But Lions, we know, really struggled with Robert Tonyan there last week. And George Kittle also gave him problems in week 1. So this should be a get-well game for Mark Andrews. He was okay against the Chiefs, really wasn't getting open in week 1. It's the Raiders, so this is an opportunity for Andrews. I think he dents the end zone as one of the touchdowns. I think Brown will also score through the air. You're going to see Tyson Williams be pretty productive, helping Lamar. But Lamar puts two in the air for scores. I think he'll get one on the ground, and Latavius Murray might get one too here. But Tyson Williams should have the best traditional running game numbers in this one. So really all the Ravens principles here, Jackson, Brown, good musician, good combination here in fantasy football. And we also look at Andrews doing some damage. Finally, maybe it's one of those multiple touchdown games for Andrews. I could see that for sure. And a great stack in DFS, by the way. Jackson and Andrews, that's the one I'm going for. Andrews, a little bit maybe undervalued, a little bit contrarian. He hasn't done too much, hasn't had a lot of attention, but this is a chance to get rolling here. And the Ravens defense, you could stream them. Jared Goff had a pick six in the first game, so there's going to be volume and some mistakes. They haven't been great so far, so be wary. They're going to need the big plays here to get it done, because they're better run defense than pass defense at this rate at this point in the season. So give that in mind. For Lions, if you need Jared Goff, he's done well. He's streamed and got those numbers. He's going to throw a ton in this offense. It's just going to be done here. Matthew Stafford, remember those garbage numbers he put up and finished as a QB1 year after year? Well, now you have Jared Goff in that same situation. Doesn't matter who's out there. He's finding guys to get the job done. TJ Hockenson has been very consistent as the top target, as we expected, for the Lions. Quintez Cephas has come on and also made some big plays for them. So they're finding guys to throw to. Jared Goff is putting up the numbers. He's definitely going to have 300 yards in this game, as they're going to be throwing in the second half. I do like the Ravens to pull away, but there's going to be plenty of chances here to put up some garbage. And usually it's going to go the way of Cephas and Hockenson. And I don't love the running backs as much this week, Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. So avoid in DFS. Avoid Williams as a deep league flex. You can still play Swift. I think he drops more to RB2 flex borderline this week. Coming off not an interesting game or productive game against the Packers last week. All right, let's continue and look at the next game here on the list. Another team from the Beltway. It's the Washington football team. They travel to the Bills. This bumps up from 7.5. Favoritism for the Bills to 8.5. It's 45.5, so pretty low scoring there. Why we have it is the defenses of these teams are playing really well, and the Bills' offense really hasn't been spectacular. Josh Allen has kind of been slow out of a gate to put some numbers up. So let's break down the Washington side of things first. Antonio Gibson, we are a little bit concerned with the use of J.D. McKissic. The Bills' run defense has been pretty good here in two games. So Gibson, temporary expectations. I think he falls into RB2. To me, down there, you're still going to play him because of the volume here, but I wouldn't extend to J.D. McKissic this week. I don't think you're going to have enough opportunities. The Bills linebackers are really good. Remember that with Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds, they can cover a lot of ground there in the passing game. So it's not a McKissic game. I don't think it's really that much of a Gibson game, but he always has a shot to score his first touchdown of the season, and that certainly could come here. For Washington, Taylor Heineke, you can't go there. He's not a streamer or anyone. The Bills defense, again, those corners are playing well. The pass rush has improved. We'll hope for the best with Terry McLaurin. We're going to play him, but probably drops more down to wide receiver 3 this week with Tre'Davious White potentially giving him a little bit of tough time in coverage. But by volume alone, the second half, he should get the digits you need. Logan Thomas, revenge game. Remember, former Bills player. Kind of made the transition from Virginia Tech quarterback to tight end while with the Bills. So he's kind of like that Darren Waller game we saw kind of playing his former team. We'll see, but the Bills are pretty good. Linebacker, they were very active. You're going to play Logan Thomas probably. He still finishes in the top 12, I think, just with limitations at the position. But be wary, you need a touchdown out of him. I don't know if you're going to get it in this particular game. So, again, McLaurin is a guy you feel good about doing something as wide receiver 3. Gibson, just the volume makes him an RB2. Not the greatest matchup, however, in the world for Washington's offensive players against the Bills defense. Now, don't be too scared to play the Washington defense. I don't think it's a great play this week. I also think the Bills are a much better play this week at home in this matchup, but the offensive line for the Bills has had some issues. Josh Allen has had trouble with accuracy here. They're going to take away a slot guy, probably with Kendall Fuller. We'll see how William Jackson III handles Stephon Diggs. That'll be a good matchup to watch in this game, but Diggs should still get his. So Diggs falls more into the wide receiver 1-2 borderline this week. I don't think I play Cole Beasley because of the presence of Fuller in the slot. That's a really tough matchup for Beasley. I'm not going to Emmanuel Sanders or Dawson Knox or anyone else. I'm also not feeling it with Devin Singletary or Zach Moss. I know Singletary had the big run, the touchdown last week, Moss multiple touchdowns, but Washington has been pretty good against the run. They shut down Saquon Barkley. really the running quarterback has been the issue for Washington, so that could help Josh Allen pad his stats here. He's still a QB1. You're going to play him there, but playing Diggs and not much else with the Bills except for their defense here in week number 3. So we've got 3 more games to talk about here on the early side matchups on Locked On Fantasy Football. Matchup Wednesday, that would be the Saints-Patriots game, the Chargers-Chiefs game, and the much-anticipated Justin Fields' first start in the Bears-Browns game. We'll get into those in our final segment, but I do have to remind you, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, there's no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. Again, that's at DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. This episode is also brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. And this week, there's a limited time flavor that you have to check out. It's Cookie Dough Chunk. Check it out. I got a package there of Cookie Dough Chunk. I loved it. This is one of my favorite flavors. I love a lot of their Built Bar flavors, really. I mean, you can't go wrong. The only way you can find out about your favorite Built Bar flavor, maybe it's Cookie Dough Chunk, limited time only, get into it right now. It is going to help you have another delicious protein bar that tastes like a dessert, and that's also good for you. Check out also some of their other flavors, coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everyone. My favorite flavor varies, but I love the ones with chocolate upon chocolate because all the Built Bars you get covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. The best way to try all the flavors is get a mix box where we get 2 each of the 9 flavors, or if you want to get in on Cookie Dough Chunk, get all those and try those here while they are here. Built Bar flavors are the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. The flavors have 17 to 18 grams protein, 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams sugar in each bar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. So the amazing flavors that Built Bar has, all tasty, all healthy, including the newest one for limited time only, Cookie Dough Chunk. Get in on it now. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's close the show here. We've gotten through 5 of the early matchups, including Thursday Night Football, a lot of 1 p.m. Eastern Time window. Well, let's continue looking at that stretch of games. It's the Saints and Patriots. Not expecting a lot of points to this one. 2 teams that are kind of mirror images with each other, trying to win with the running game and defense as much as possible, protect their quarterbacks, be conservative there. It didn't work for the Saints in week 2. It worked for them in week 1 against the Packers, but Jameis Winston, only the 11 completions, really struggled to get the ball down to anyone. This is a great matchup for the Patriots. Why? Because they can key on an Alvin Kamara everywhere. There's nothing else to key on. You're not going to have any concern about Marquez Callaway or Juwan Johnson. You're not going to have a game plan. We know what Bill Belichick does. He takes away the opponent's best option. He did that last week with Corey Davis. And what happened? Zach Wilson really struggled to get the ball to anyone else in that game. So Winston, we know, wants to put the ball in Kamara's hands as the short yardage back. They're going to probably get as many things on him as possible here to try to take Alvin Kamara out of the game. I still think he can produce. It was definitely highly disappointing last week against the Panthers. It's really been a quiet start for Kamara. He's had the receiving touchdown there against the Packers, but this may not be the best chance for him to get on track. And that low over-under, that implies very low totals for both teams, with the Saints being only 3-point underdogs in this one. So, yeah, not feeling it a lot. So Alvin Kamara drops into RB2 range. That's how much this Saints offense, we were worried to drag him down a little bit despite the great offensive line, despite the commitment to the running game and giving him the ball. You also have quite a bit of Tony Jones Jr. You also had Taysom Hill getting work. That is never good for Kamara. So be patient with Kamara. The big games are coming. It just hasn't happened here. And so temper your expectations here as well. Everything else is the Saints. No, we're avoiding. And not going with their defense either, because the Patriots are very careful with Mac Jones. They're going to be caretaker, calculated with the way they operate their offense in this one. So with the Patriots, it's really all about the running backs. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at Jonu Smith and Hunter Henry. They kind of split the work. Jacoby Myers and Nelson Agholor are kind of cutting into each other's work there at wide receiver, so you can't trust either one of them. So no tight ends, no wide receivers. The two backs, however, are where I'm going, Damian Harris and James White. They're the bread and butter of what the Saints are, we'll see here this week against the Patriots. Patriots are running Damian Harris on early downs, getting James White involved in the pass game. They're also getting him involved in the running game at times. So Harris and White, they're just going with the guys, the veterans. They're not messing with Ramondre Stevenson or J.J. Taylor or any of that. Go with their guys, the guys that Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels trust the most. They have a good offensive line, double tight end sets, all about the running backs for the Patriots. So, no, not interested at all in streaming Mac Jones because of that. I know Mac Jones has played well, but numbers aren't there. It's going to be more of a caretaker type role, just feeding into the running game. And the Patriots, one team, there's a lot of unpredictability in this league, but you can count on the Patriots to do exactly what we think we're going to do. Ironically, given that they have a fickle nature with the way they operate with their personnel. But yeah, that's how you break down the Patriots and Saints. This is how we're going to break down the Chargers and Chiefs game. 6.5-point favorites. The Chiefs are at home in Arrowhead. Nice, finally, high over-under, total 55.5. That's what we're looking about and looking for here. And let's start with the Chargers. It hasn't been great for Justin Herbert. Struggled in week one against Washington, even though they won the game. Wasn't big numbers last week, although he did facilitate Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So maybe you put it all together this week with Allen and Williams and Jared Cook. These are all great matchups for all three of these guys. Allen, every week, you trust him. Mike Williams is looking great as the X receiver, healthy, stretching the field, running after the catch, finishing in the red zone. So love all those guys. Love Austin Eckler. The Chiefs defense just giving up monster games there all around to the Browns principals and now to the Ravens. So, yeah, the Chiefs defense has got a lot of issues. They've got some injuries they're working out as well. Herbert played well against the Chiefs last year, so he's going to light it up. So Cook has a bounce-back game, helps Williams and Allen. They'll keep producing. Eckler will be fine again here in this matchup. The Chiefs really don't have a lot of speed to cover him at linebacker. So all the Chargers principles get them in, except for their defense, of course, with Brandon Staley and Joey Bosa. We're not going to do that with Patrick Mahomes on the other side. So this is going to be a fun game. On the Chiefs side of things, the usual suspects, Patrick Mahomes, right there, top 1, 2, 3, somewhere there with Murray and Jackson. On the quarterback board this week, Travis Kelce's always on the top of the tight end board. Tyreek Hill on top of the wide receiver board as well. The Chargers secondary, which have struggled with him, their scheme is going to open things up for Hill to have some big plays in this one. So Hill, Kelce, Mahomes. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire also bounces back in this game. The Chargers, if you look at what happened to their defense last week, they really struggled with that combination of Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. Edwards-Helaire, they got to get him the ball a little bit more. I know Patrick Mahomes is not Mr. Checkdown. He doesn't always look for those plays, but it's a great opportunity because run ball against the Chargers, protect your defense, which is struggling. Try to win a game. You're 1-1. You have the same record as the Chargers. You're at home. Grind away, overcorrect Andy Reid, and go to the running game a little bit more. Just don't look at that CH fumble. Look at what he can do for your offense if you give it to him in right situations versus forced situations, which happened last week. So a little bit of a side there, but Edwards-Helaire is only $4,800 there on DraftKings. So good value for Edwards-Helaire. Everyone's off him. And if he's available in your league and that manager is very frustrated with what the Chiefs second-year running back is doing, go make an offer. Go steal a running back who's going to have a bigger role. This Chiefs offensive line, Joe Thuney, some of the changes they've made up front is going to be more about the running game. It's all about Andy Reid just realizing that to help protect his defense and take a little pressure off Mahomes. I think it happens here against the Chargers. Now, finally, we'll close with the Bears going to the Browns. It all points to Justin Fields making his first start. So it didn't take too long. We thought it could happen in week two after that Rams game, but Andy Dalton gets hurt, the knee, the bone bruise. Just the slight opening here. Justin Fields did close. He did struggle a little bit, but keep in mind that was mop-up duty. That was in a tough spot there. He had the interception against the Bengals that helped them waltz back into the game late, but when we look at Justin Fields, he's kind of running upside. That's always going to be there. The Browns we'll have trouble handling that. If you say there's one weakness on the team, it's a little bit in the inside with linebackers. I know they are pretty good against the run, but Fields can use that zone read looks. I think it's going to help David Montgomery get a little bit going here, some running room in this tough matchup as well. So that's going to help. I think it's going to help Darnell Mooney eventually and Allen Robinson for sure. We need to see the arm connect and all that. This Browns secondary has a lot of depth, has a lot of intriguing players, but still hasn't had the results here early in the season. So, and we expect a lot of volume from Fields. So Mooney, I don't love the matchup. I'd rather wait and see what we get from Mooney, but I think Allen Robinson will get back on track here. They just missed a connection last week for a touchdown. So Robinson did score last week. Not a lot of other volume. I think it's going to come here with their stronger arm, Fields, and they're replacing Dalton. So, yeah, Fields, back end, QB1. You can certainly look at him that way. I think it's a good DFS play with his floor in what he can do running. And it definitely is going to bump up Robinson. We'll wait and see on Mooney. If you need him, you can go there, but I don't love the spot necessarily. I think it's going to be feeding a lot of Robinson. I think Cole Kmet could also see some looks here, but we're not going to go with that yet. So we want to see how it kind of plays out with the rookie quarterback and how his targets go. But Robinson is the most reliable there. David Montgomery and Fields is where you're going here with the Bears. The Bears defense, you're parking against the Browns. The Browns offenses look pretty good. We'll see about Odell Beckham Jr. if he can come back from a knee. We're pretty sure Jarvis Landry's not going to play with his knee injury that he sustained last week. So, yeah, it's going to be all about the Browns' tight ends. Austin Hooper is still the leader of that group. The Bears have struggled a little bit on tight end. They gave up a good game to Tyler Higbee in week one. The Bengals didn't really use the tight end much with their three receivers in week two. The Browns are going to rely on those guys a lot here. So, some opportunity for Rashad Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, maybe to make some plays. In this one, the Bears have given up big plays on the back end. So we'll see who can step up in the absence of Landry and maybe OBJ again to produce out of this Browns receiving core. But again, Hooper right now, Austin Hooper, the big beneficiary. I think he's the tight end they're going to use the most consistently here. David Njoku occasionally stretch the field. Same thing with Harrison Bryant. But still, Hooper is the guy that you get in. So really, looking at Baker Mayfield, you could play him. I think he's a borderline QB1 this week. I think there are some better matchups that you can look at, and we'll get into some of those on matchup Thursday there that you can play at that borderline if you're streaming quarterbacks in deeper leagues. Mayfield may be a guy that you can pivot away from this week, given some of the receiver issues. We'll maybe wait and see, but he can get the job at tight end. So I could see it either way. I see a 250-2 potential here for Mayfield. If you're looking for bigger upside, you could go elsewhere at quarterbacks. But Brown, 7.5-point favorites at home, 46.5 over-under. In the backfield, Nick Chubb, every week, he's just bringing it. The Bears' run defense, not as good as you think either. So Chubb is solid here this week. Kareem Hunt, however, the Bears' linebackers with Roquan Smith and some of the speed they have on the second level might not go with Kareem Hunt. He's kind of hit or miss here. He has to be involved right in the passing game, and they could be playing with a lead here, given that spread against Fields at home. Fields will also be a little inspired by playing near Columbus, where he had a couple good years for Ohio State. He'll have some support there from some Buckeyes fans, just wanting to see him play well once the Browns are in control of this game. So keep all that in mind here for that and Fields' performance. But yeah, Mayfield, you could pivot away from him. I think I feel best about Chubb and Hooper this week from the Browns' offense, and their defense is definitely playable. It is Fields. I know he can make some plays, but he's also a rookie quarterback making his first start, and he can make lumps and mistakes like we saw last week in relief effort against the Bengals, the other team from Ohio. All right, so there's a look at the 8 early games, starting with Thursday Night Football, getting through a lot of games in the 1 p.m. window. We'll finish up looking at the back end of the games, to do the late afternoon games, and to the two finishing primetime games, Sunday night and Monday night. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. All right, this wraps up another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for listening. We'll break down the second half of games. Don't forget, same way we did this show, we'll do tomorrow's show. This is what we do, the progressive, known as Locked On Fantasy Football, every week, every weekday, bringing the analysis for you. No nonsense, to the point, fantasy football. Pack it all in for you here on the show. For LOFF, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great Wednesday, and see you on Thursday.